I think it was the recent Garrison retreat. There was a lot of talk about waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. And at one point you asked a person, between two thoughts, where are you? And you said, deep sleep. And so that really, I like that. Can you talk some more about that?
Well, between two dreams, what state are you in?
Deep sleep.
Between two thoughts, what state are you in?
Deep sleep.
Yeah, it's the same.
I know, but we can't.
Two dreams are just the state between two images, two thoughts. Deep sleep is the state between two thoughts, the state between two images, the state between two feelings or perceptions.
So we don't notice it, but much of the time we're in deep sleep, even when we're...
Take a piece of white paper. A piece of white paper represents the pure consciousness. Draw a circle of it on it and divide the circle into three. So if, from the middle up to midnight, down to 4 o'clock and to 8 o'clock. So you've got the circle divided into three segments. Color one segment blue and the other segment red, and leave the third white. So if you were to ask somebody how many colors are there in the circle, they'd say three, blue, red, and white. There seem to be three colors there. Actually, there aren't three colors there. There are only two colors there. The white segment of the circle is only considered a color in relation to the red and the blue. So in the relation to the red and the blue, we can say there are three colors, red, blue, and white. So then our attention is drawn to the white page all around the circle, the rest of the white. And then we realize, no, the white paper isn't just a bit around the circle. It underlies the circle. It's the single sheet of white paper that underlies the red and the blue. The white paper that underlies the red and the blue. And that actually shines clearly as it is in the third segment. In other words, the third segment is not a third segment. It's not a third state. It's the shining of pure consciousness.
Yeah.
It's only considered a third state in relation to the red and the blue.
Yeah.
The white is only considered a color, a third color, in relation to the red and the blue colors. So the deep sleep state is only considered a state in relation to the waking and dreaming states. If we consider deep sleep a state that alternates with the waking and dreaming states, then deep sleep is something that comes and goes, lasts a certain period of time. But if we understand that the deep sleep state is not a state, it is just the awareness of being, then it doesn't come and go. It's present all the time underneath the red and the blue. And it's what we essentially are. So we are always in deep sleep.
Oh, that was a great explanation. I really understand. Thank you.
And that's why it is said that meditation is to be deeply asleep whilst remaining awake. Actually, we're always deeply asleep. You see, normally we think that deep sleep is a state that alternates with the two other states of waking, dreaming, and sleeping, and deep sleep. So we think that deep sleep is one state amongst three. This understanding, it's so beautiful. It relieves deep sleep of its darkness. Deep sleep is only considered a blank, dark, empty state from the point of view of one of the other two states. But from its own point of view, it's not dark. Being is shining there. It is the shining of being, the awareness of being. It's only dark from the point of view of the waking state and dreaming state, or the waking state mind, or the waking and dreaming state mind, which only knows objects. For the object-knowing mind, which is present in the waking and dreaming states, There are no objects in deep sleep, therefore it is dark, empty, void, blank, ignorant. But from its own point of view, from its own experience, it is not dark, it is the shining of being. In fact, the waking and dreaming states are a kind of darkness. It's why it says in the Bhagavad Gita that what is known by awareness is unknown by the mind, and what is known by the mind is unknown to awareness. That's why the medieval Christian mystics referred to the cloud of unknowing. The awareness of being is this cloud of unknowing. It is unknown to the mind, but known to itself. But what is known by awareness, the awareness of being, is unknown to the waking state mind. So what the waking state mind knows, that is the world, is a kind of ignorance. That's why Rumi said, knowledge of the world is a kind of ignorance. It's not the kind of thing you expect Rumi to say, because he was so in love with the reality of the world. But this beautiful thing, knowledge of the world is a kind of ignorance. In other words, knowledge of anything other than God's infinite being is ignorance. Mm. We normally think that the waking state, we see things at their clearest, that reality is most evident in the waking state, a little bit less evident in the dream state, and not evident at all in deep sleep. No, it's the other way round. In deep sleep, reality shines all by itself. It's just the shining of being, unknown to the mind, darkness to the mind, but light to itself. And the waking state, which seems to be known by the waking state, is a kind of darkness for being, or an obscuring of being. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
It's so beautiful.
See the relationship between concepts about higher dimensions or higher dimensional beings, perhaps, maybe like mathematics, physics, or other spiritual practices. How do you see that relating to the model that you've talked about, in which you've taken the three states of deep sleep and the dreaming state and then the waking state, and you've kind of laid out how in deep sleep there's this kind of no dimension, infinite spaciousness, which arises in the form of mind and time in the sleeping or the dreaming state. And then that gets added through, I guess, perception potentially in the form of three dimensions in the waking state, which is appears then as four-dimensional space-time. How does those concepts of higher dimensions then relate to that model? Does that make sense?
Okay, yes. So in deep sleep there is no thought or perception, and therefore no experience of time or space. But there is the experience of simply being, the awareness of being. But that experience doesn't take up any time or space. Then the mind arises, so that's what's called infinite being. Infinite being doesn't mean it extended in all directions indefinitely. It means no directions at all, dimensionless. And then when being assumes the form of mind, this dimensionless being refracts itself, first of all with thinking and imagining into one dimension of time, and then with perception it refracts itself into a further three dimensions of space. So a human mind consists of the faculties of thinking and perceiving, and it's for that reason that we experience reality in time and space. But there could be other kinds of mind that have six dimensions. We have four dimensions, or the activities of thinking and perceiving, which create four dimensions, space-time. But there could be other minds that have thinking, perceiving, and another faculty, let's call it Xing. In which case, reality, the same reality that appears to us as time and space, would appear to this six-dimensional mind as time, space, plus X's, whatever X, because X would correspond to the faculty of Xing. It could be that such a mind didn't have the faculty of thinking and perceiving, but it did have the faculty of Xing, Ying, and Zing. We can't imagine what that is, because everything we imagine is filtered through thought and perception. But imagine another kind of mind that doesn't, can't think or perceive, but it can X, Y, and Z. So the same infinite being is going to be refracted through Xing, Ying, and Zing. And the reality that appears to us as time and space will appear to it as X's, Y's, and Z's. We cannot imagine what that would be. It would be the same reality that we see, because there's only one reality, but it would appear to it in a way that corresponded with its own perceiving faculties, X's, Y's, and Z's. Or they may not even be perceiving faculties. It would be a reality that appeared to it in a way that is consistent with the limitations of its own mind, whatever its mind consisted of. And if that mind did not at least contain the faculties of thinking and perceiving, reality would appear to it completely differently from the reality that appears to us. It would be the same reality that it perceives, but it would appear to it completely different. And we have to be open to the possibilities that there may be other forms of mind in consciousness other than thinking and perceiving. And how likely is it that infinite consciousness only assumes the activities of thinking and perceiving? It's highly unlikely.
Are you able to?
And I'm going to push this, if I can just push this a little further. You haven't asked about this, but take aliens. It's a topical subject. A friend of ours, he's not here this week, Stuart, his son is about to open an amazing alien museum in New York. Next year it's going to be absolutely incredible. Take an alien that we as human beings think of as beings that come from another dimension, but another dimension in time and space. We just think they come from a planet in our space-time structure, and that they sometimes visit us. They come from their planet, wherever it is. They come and visit us. I think that's the mind's impoverished way of interpreting something that is true. I don't think that they come from another location in space-time. I think they are other manifestations of mind. Their minds consist of Xing, Ying, and Zing, but they also consist of at least perceiving, because they interact with our space-time. But I don't think they come from elsewhere in our universe of space and time. I think they're in consciousness, but I think they're minds that are constructed completely differently from ours. They live in another dimension, which is not at a distance from our world, but is somehow present here. But we can't see them because of our impoverished perceiving faculties, except when their mind somehow interacts with our mind, and then they appear in our universe. And then the mind, due to its diminished powers of reasoning, presume, oh, they came from that planet over there. No, they came from a dimension that is not in our space-time. Did I explain that correctly? Yeah.
Could you potentially speak to then the validity of maybe mathematics, physics?
No, I can't. But sorry, I'm going to just go back. I'll come back to that. Yeah. I first got this idea many, many years ago. I think I've mentioned this before to some of you, 20 or 30 years ago, when I first watched Wim Wenders' beautiful film. What was it called? Wings of Desire. Who saw Wings of Desire? Oh, lots of you. Yeah. Okay. Do you remember in Wings of Desire, the angels? I think they depicted to begin with are on top of the building. They kind of fall down to earth, and they're all dressed in black. So it's a regular scene, a regular street scene. Everyone's dressed in normal clothes. But the angels are dressed in black. And the people, the regular people in the movie, can't see them, because their perceiving faculties cannot pick up the frequency of mind that is represented as an angel. So the angels, but the angels have, their minds are larger than a human mind. So the angels, the human beings appear in the angels' perceiving, to the angels' perceiving faculties, because they are more enlarged than a human being's perceiving faculties. But the human beings cannot perceive the angels because their perceiving faculties are too narrow. So we, of course, are the viewer. We see the angels interacting with the human beings. We see what the angels think of the human beings. The human beings feel their presence. They feel they are being helped. But they don't know that they're being helped by angels. They think that something random is going on in there. And it's this beautiful idea that the angel is not from another, not a being from another realm, but it's a frequency of mind that is present in this realm. But it doesn't appear, they don't appear to us in this realm, because our perceiving faculties cannot register them. So that was where this idea, it came out in the 80s, I think, that film, like 40 years ago, this idea that was planted in my mind that I then explained in reference to aliens. Can I speak about that in reference to mathematics and physics? All I can say is this, that mathematics would be an attempt of a human mind to create a language that somehow represented a realm that is not available to our perceiving faculties. So we can go much further in thought than we can in perception. For instance, all we can see with perception is the inside of this room now. But we can go much further with our thinking. So thinking is much broader than perceiving. So a human mind intuits that there is much more to reality than the evidence of the senses present, physical. So that mathematics would be an attempt of our conceiving faculties, an attempt of thought, to somehow represent that realm of reality in our language. And mathematics would be a kind of language with which we try to represent a realm that is not available to the senses, but is nevertheless real.
Thank you.
I would suggest music was also an attempt, whereas mathematics tries to represent this realm with thought, music would be an attempt, in fact, all art in general, but music is perhaps the most refined form of art. Art is an attempt to represent the reality that lies behind what our sense faculties are able to register. Music is an attempt to represent that to our perceptions, whereas mathematics is an attempt to represent it to our thoughts.